excited to welcome you to Real Woman, Real Torah, a project of Becheva Learning Center. We're here to offer you an authentic Torah learning experience, produced for woman, by woman. I hope you enjoy. I'm so excited to welcome Mushki Slanovitz on our podcast today. Mushki is a cousin of mine who I got talking to a couple months ago. We were both in Chicago for Pesach visiting family, and she was telling me about the research that she's doing now, all about the topic of Agada and, you know, all kinds of fascinating, very exotic stories in the Gemara and how we understand those stories. And as we're coming into the 3 weeks, I thought it would be really fascinating to ask Mushki to take us through some of the stories in the Gemara that talk about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and, you know, how do we approach those stories and what kind of messages we can take from those stories. So, Mushki, welcome. So honored to have you here. And I guess the goal for this episode would be, number one, to tell us, define for us what Agada is, what kind of approach we're going to be taking to understanding Agada, and, you know, maybe just a little preview or prelude to what's to come in the next couple of episodes.
Okay, so hello, Hadassah. Thank you so much for having me here. This is, as always, lots of fun. So thank you. My name is Mushki Slanovitz, as you said, and, you know, now your cousin. So what is Agada? And that really, really is a hard question to answer, because really it's defined by what it's not. It's not halacha, right? So in the Gemara, there is lots and lots of discussion about what halacha is. And then there's all this other stuff that is not necessarily telling us what to do. It's not halacha, but it's not... But there's no exact genre for what it is. So many people may be familiar with different stories that appear in the Gemara or different midrashim that we have in different svarim of medrash, some of them that are explaining psukim, some that are giving scientific or moral advice. There's all sorts of things. So what Agada is basically this general topic, this general genre of things that are not halacha. Now, but they were all, and what's very important to know is that the same people who discussed halacha, the same Tanaim and Amoraim that discuss halacha, they're the same ones who say Agada, who say Medrash. So while we all know how to deal with halacha, meaning, you know, once it's explained and encoded for us, we know that we just have to follow it. With Agada, it's a little bit murkier, right? The stories are there, different pieces of information are there, but we don't follow it in the same way as Agada. So how do in the same way as halacha. So how do we view it? How do we relate to it? So the Rambam in Perek Chelek, in his introduction to Perek Chelek, he discusses this question. He says, we have all these sayings from the Chachamim. How do we relate with them? And the Rambam says, he says, there really are three ways to look at it. He says, either you can take every single thing that the Chachamim say literally in a very literal sense. So anything that, any like miracles that Chachamim talk about, any stories they say, any advice that they give, everything has to be taken exactly the way it says, basically the same way we take anything else, halacha or anything else in Torah. Then he says there is another group that says, you know, we also have to understand every single word that the Chachamim say literally. And because they say that, and because they look at all of these Agadas and they see that some Agadas have miraculous things discussed in them, or some Agadas discuss, you know, things that may have some philosophical issues with them, they say, you know, basically because we have issues with some of the things the Chachamim say, we just don't have to listen to anything that Agada says. If it makes sense to us, we'll take it. And if we don't like it, then, you know, we just don't have to pay attention to it. And the Rambam looks at both of these groups and he says, no good. Group number one is not great because, well, he'll explain why. And group number two, he says, is very, very bad. And he does not mince his words in discussing why it's... why it's such a bad idea not to take the words of the Chachamim seriously. And he says, really, the way to look at Agadah is that it was, it's the Chachamim really discussing very, very deep concepts, but they encode it in very simple language. So while some of these Agadahs will be stories that seem either simple or some that seem miraculous or some that seem, you know, all sorts of things, Rambam says that it's foolish to just see it for its, to take the words at face value, because you're missing the depth of what's going on inside of these words. And the Rambam goes further and he says that the brilliance of the Chachamim was that they were able to discuss, say these simple stories so that simple people, children, people who don't understand, they can hear the stories and understand them and enjoy them on a very superficial level. And then, but at the same time, people who want to learn the secrets of Torah, people who want to learn really deep philosophic and theosophic and spiritual secrets, they can learn it through really investigating the words of Agadah. So the Rambam really says that, yeah, okay, maybe you should look at them for the information that they're telling us at face value, but if you really want to know the depth and the understanding of the Chachamim, you have to investigate the real deep meaning. Now, this idea of the Rambam was something that was really taken and discussed by many, many Chachamim of later generations. And interestingly, the Shlach HaKadosh, so many people are familiar with the Shlach HaKadosh, he takes the Rambam a little further. He says that not only is our Agadahs discussing, you know, deep secrets, but the Shlach as a Mekubal, he said, really, these stories of Agadah talk about a very spiritual reality. And he gives an example. He says that when we discuss a handle, and he brings the example of a handle, of a yadit, when I say I have a handle of a pot, I'm referring to, you know, the handle, the thing that lets me hold the pot. However, what I'm referring to is the power of holding, which exists inside of my hand. I'm using the hand as the real concept of what a hand is, something that gives and something that holds. And therefore, I'm applying that concept to a hand that's much weaker, something that holds a pot. And he says, so too with the Agadahs of the Chachamim. He says that the Agadahs can talk about very physical stories or very simple looking stories. But the only reason they discuss it in simple language is because they're describing a much realer and much truer reality. So just like when I talk about a handle of a pot, I am truly talking about the power of holding and the power of giving. When I'm looking at simple stories of Agadah, what I'm really describing, what we're really talking about, are the truer, much more spiritual powers going on.
Mushkiba, that's so fascinating. I feel like I actually saw this idea in a commentary called the Be'er Mayim Chaim. He was talking about the story of Chet Eitz Hadas, and he was talking about whether Gan Eden is a real place, right? Like, because it's sort of this, we talk about Gan Eden as being the spiritual place our souls go after we pass away, but then in the Torah, it's describing Gan Eden as an actual garden, right? Like, they actually eat from the tree, right? Like, the whole story of Chet Eitz Hadas, like, did it actually happen? Did they actually eat a fruit? And he talks about this idea, and I didn't realize that it was a reference to the Shalah, this concept of the handle, right? Where the hand, when we talk about the hand of the pitcher or the cup, right? That's a reference to a human hand, right? But we say hand, we know that what we're talking about is something which holds, right? The same way a human hand holds, we're talking about something that holds that cup. So he was saying that anything in the physical world, right? A garden, for example, and when we talk about Gan Eden, it's really a reference, it's a symbol, it's like a map of a truer, more real reality. And what we have to notice is that physical manifestation that we see is like, you know, just a poor representation, just a very limited, coarse representation, symbol of something much truer and much more real. And similarly with these stories, right? So we're going to look at these stories, and like you said, the Rambam kind of mocks these other camps, these people who are trying look understanding this, the stories on such a literal level, and whether they use it as an excuse to dismiss the words of the Chachamim, or even if they're, you know, very, you know, strong believers and they think the words of the Chachamim are true. But he says either way, it's foolish because you're missing the point, right? You're not seeing it for what it really is, and right, like whenever you're looking at the symbol and you're seeing it as just what it is for itself, and not as just a symbol of something much, much deeper, you're missing the point.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is, that it's, that, you know, seeing it on a very physical level is just completely missing the point. Or hearing it as just a nice story is, you know, is not the reason that this story was written in the Gemara. And really, the Alter Rebbe really summarizes this in one line in Hilchos Talmud Torah, where he says that Rav Sayyidei Shabbat Torah are inside of the, that most of the secrets of the Torah are really inside of Agada, inside of the stories. Because if you think about it, right, so much of our life is not just halacha. Halacha is what we do. Halacha is how we act. But Agada is where we get our, what it's like to be a Yid. And being in the 3 weeks now, the way our mindset, so there are certain halachas that we follow, but our mindset, what we should be understanding, what we should be working towards, that's going to be found in the Agadah. So I'm so excited to go through very few of these Agadahs together and to see what perspectives we can take for our lives during this period.
Right, and it's, I think we should just, you know, mention that while some of the Agadahs, you know, are these sort of very fantastical stories, and there's a lot of discussion about, you know, whether or not these happened on a literal level, you know, the stories we're going to discuss are historical accounts that we have no reason to believe they didn't happen, you know, on a you know, historical level. And yet, like we said, that's the main thing that we want to get out of it. The main goal here is to understand, like, what's the message? What are the Chachamim trying to teach us with this, right? Why did they choose to tell us these details of the story and not others' details, right? Like, what's the message we're meant to learn?
Yes, so excited to do that here. Thank you.